Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever tried to hold a rubber band in tension? It's not as easy as you may think, especially not for a long period of time. You need to focus on both sides, because if you don't, if you lose track of one side, it's going to start to slip, and before you know it, you've lost it. Well, there are parts of our faith that aren't terribly different from this rubber band. Tensions that we need to hold. We need to keep track of both sides, not overemphasize one to the point where we forget the other, because if we do, again, it's going to start to slip and we've lost it. Well, this morning I would like to discuss one of those tensions within our faith. It's a tension within the character of God. God is a God of love and justice. It's not the kind of situation where we get to pick which attribute we like more in the moment. It's not an either-or kind of situation. God is a God of love and justice. It's a both and. It's a tension that we as the people of God must live in. It's a tension that we must hold, kind of like a rubber band. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about this truth, that God is the God of love and justice. And as we do so, it's my hope and prayer and goal that you would be encouraged to live within this tension. Now, the thing with tensions is we sometimes have a tendency to overemphasize. Sometimes we might be tempted to overemphasize the love of God to the point where we forget about his justice. And I've got to be honest this morning, the lectionary committee who picked our readings and decided, especially where the Old Testament lesson was going to end, didn't really do us any favors in this. This reading emphasizes the love of God. But I mean, let's be honest. We love readings like this. We love hearing about the great love that God has for us. Even if this one in particular isn't addressed directly to us, originally it was spoken by Moses to the people of Israel, but we can see pretty clearly how this reading applies to us. We are a holy people. We've been set apart by God. We've been chosen by him in our baptism. And you know, even St. Peter picks up on almost this exact same language in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, where Peter writes, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." We love texts like this, again, because they remind us of the great love that God has for us. They make us feel accepted, comfortable, non-judgmental. God is a God of love. You're not going to offend anybody with that statement. Readings like this, they might even help us to feel justified in speaking to our friends and family members something like this. Look, God loves you just the way you are. You don't have to change anything about yourself to come to him. God loves you just as you are. You are enough. You are complete. You are whole just the way you are. But the problem with speaking and acting and thinking in this way is that in our earnest desire to uphold the love of God, we've forgotten about his justice. We've left no room for Jesus. We have, again, without maybe intending to, made God in our own image. We've violated that first, most fundamental commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. The thing is, the love of God must never be divorced from his justice, and likewise, his justice can't be divorced from his love. The two must be held together in tension. And we see that if we take a little bit closer look at the Old Testament lesson, especially at its context, at the way it ends. And so if you have a Bible or if you have a Bible app on your phone and you pull up Deuteronomy chapter 7 and you look at the way verse 9 ends, it's kind of peculiar. The way our reading ends is kind of peculiar because it doesn't end with a period as you might expect. Deuteronomy 7, 9 ends with a comma. In other words, the thought goes on. And so I'd like to read for us Deuteronomy 7, verses 9 and 10, so that we can see the full picture of what's being communicated to us about the character of God. Moses says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with the one who hates him. He will repay him to his face." See, this full text helps us to realize that the love of God and the justice of God must always be held together in tension. Like I said, sometimes we have a tendency to overemphasize the love of God to the point where we forget about his justice, but the opposite is sometimes true as well. Sometimes we have a tendency to overemphasize the justice of God to the point that we forget about his love. I'll be honest, I'm guilty of this more times than I really care to admit. I can think of specific examples in my life where I have been so frustrated, so angry with someone who has hurt a person who's close to me, that I've wanted nothing more than to just tell this person off in the name of the Lord. Maybe you've been in a similar situation. We love to tell people off in the name of the Lord because it allows us to mask our own anger as righteous zeal. Maybe you've felt that way even recently. I don't know, maybe you've become so angered by the direction that our nation is headed that recently you wanted nothing more than to just tell off in the name of the Lord this godless nation. You've wanted nothing more than to just tell off this divorce-loving, Christian-hating, homosexual-harboring, baby-killing nation. You wanted nothing more than to just lay into them with the word of the Lord and say, look, God repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with the one who hates him. He will repay him to his face. So you better get your act together, you unbelieving world, because God is a God of justice and he will not let your blatant disregard for his ways stand forever. But the thing is, if we think in this way, if we act and speak in this way, in our earnest desire to uphold the justice of God, we've forgotten about his love. We have, whether intentionally or not, made God into our own image and forgotten that first most fundamental commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." See, the justice of God and the love of God must always be held together in tension. Because when we hold these things in tension, we find ourselves at the very heart of God. Now, the reason I can say that, the reason why if we hold God's love and his justice in tension that we find ourselves at the heart of God is because Jesus Christ is the tension between God's love and his justice. See, God knows that you and I are sinful human beings who are prone to not holding this tension properly. He knows that we're prone to resolving it, to making God in our own image, so to speak. That's why Jesus Christ came into this world. He came to be the one who perfectly demonstrated both the love and the justice of God. And he demonstrated the love of God, just as he said, greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. But Jesus also demonstrated the justice of God as he hung on that cross and he cried out, I thirst. And he proceeded to drink the cup of God's wrath and justice poured out on him for you. See, the love of God and the justice of God must always be held in tension. And when we do, we find ourselves at the heart of God. Because when we hold these things in tension, we find ourselves at the foot of the cross. We find ourselves at the feet of our Savior who loves you more than you could ever know. Who loves you so much that he went to the cross to suffer the wrath and justice of God, so that his unending love might come to you, might strengthen you to live in this tension as a redeemed, renewed, beloved child of God. And God's promise is that his Spirit is always with you to help you and strengthen you as you seek to live in this tension. In the name of Jesus, amen.